Eyes stretched and mouths flew open wide at the sight of a Colt revolver that had been tucked in the backside of Squirrel's pants and covered by his shirt. Shortly before the bell rang for recess, Squirrel had whispered to several of his male classmates that he would perform a solo version of the deadly game of Russian roulette on the schoolyard. To authenticate his claim, he showed the firearm that he had sneaked from his house to one of the boys, prompting word to spread quickly. The boys met him on the side of the building, away from the immediate view of the teachers. Excitement grew when Squirrel opened the chamber and showed the boys the one bullet it contained. When he spun the chamber, closed it back, and placed the weapon on his temple and began to squeeze the trigger slowly, all the boys took a few steps back, electrified by Squirrel's display of nerve. Caleb, who was not on the schoolyard at the time, had begged Squirrel to keep what he knew to himself, but failed miserably to give his wimpy buddy a reason that made sense to him. Squirrel's impulses to compensate for his low self-esteem outweighed his loyalty to Caleb, who hadn't come close to persuading him to keep his endowment a secret. While he had agreed on the surface to comply with Caleb's wishes, the thought of being impervious to pain fascinated him and crowded his brain with spectacular ideas on how to glorify himself and downplay his image as a wimpy little weakling. Already working in his favor was his much-talked-about encounter with Doug the Thug. While his tongue was in compliance with his promise, the rest of his body betrayed him badly. His anxiety led him to plan stunts and other daring acts that would naturally inspire inquiry and possibly expose the truth. Like Reverend Dogma in the beginning, he believed that he had somehow become the exclusive recipient of a special power from an unknown source, which failed to interest him at the time. The schoolyard exhibition was his first self-serving scheme. Only a click sound was heard, causing the youthful onlookers to breathe a sigh of relief, but Squirrel was just getting warmed up. He opened the chamber again and inserted a second bullet. As he started to pull the trigger a second time, several of the boys backed up even farther and placed their hands over their ears. As before, only a click sound was produced. Squirrel's insertion of a third bullet in the chamber of the six-shooter seriously frightened most of the boys and caused them to glance at each other, looking for signs that they thought Squirrel had gone too far. But the tough guy code of silence prevailed, and nobody said a single word. So Squirrel pulled the trigger a third time, and again, nothing happened. The boys now knew that they had just stared down 50-50 odds that Squirrel could kill himself. When Squirrel pulled out a fourth bullet, the boys began looking nervously at each other again, this time trying to predict who would be the first to take flight. But the need to preserve their fronts of bravery made them stand still, swallowing the idea that Squirrel might place a fifth bullet in the gun's chamber, that is, if he miraculously survived the fourth one. This time, all the boys except one turned their heads as Squirrel repeated his actions again, and again a clicking sound was heard. "Hey, Squirrel Man, maybe you better quit while you're ahead," said one of the boys, whose words were echoed by the rest of them. "Come on, guys, don't punk out on me now. There's better than a 10% chance that I'll live through the next attempt," said Squirrel, now thinking he had successfully established himself as a tough guy supreme. All the boys lost grip of their pride and fled the scene, but they all peeped and listened out for a gunshot, which was not forthcoming. All of them ran back to the spot and congratulated Squirrel, whose face bore a smile with corners that came close to meeting at the back of his head.